Hey, well, I appreciate that song this morning, and I couldn't help but think. I know several of our church family, again, was gone last week, and some folks have asked us how we enjoyed our vacation, and it was good. I enjoyed my time. I was telling my wife, I guess it'll be our last time, if something don't change, it'll be our last time really getting away with our daughter before some sorry boy takes her away. And but we enjoyed our time, and but my wife knows me well. We've been together a long time now, 25 years married, soon be 26 years. One of my favorite parts about vacation is the last day, because I'm going home. That's usually, she calls it my homing beacon, and we don't stop for a whole lot on the way to the house. We make it to the house is where I want to get to. And I thank God for what He's blessed us with, a place to lay our head, a place to reside. But that still ain't home. I'm glad that God has gone to prepare a place for me. And I'm looking for home one of these days. And the older I get, Brother Rick, I'm looking a little more. I'm getting a little more excited each day just thinking about that place called home. And I want to say this morning, now listen to me. Everybody in this world, every person in this room this morning, you have a home. You're going to have an eternal home. I'm glad that I have a place called heaven to be my home. Amen. But the sad thing is that many, maybe somebody sitting here this morning, the reality of it is, as much as my home is splendor, that God Himself has prepared a place for somebody like me. There's a place called hell that's prepared for all, for the devil and all of his angels, but all those that reject Christ. I'd hate to know that I'm going to go home to a wonderful place and you might end up in a lake of fire. Do we really understand that? I don't think we do. If we really did, we'd be telling everybody we could that they ought to get saved. And we want to encourage you to be mindful of that this morning. But I am thankful that I have a home. Don't deserve it, but God sure has given us something great to look forward to. Hey, I'm enjoying the ride, amen. I don't have to wait to get to heaven to get there. I'm enjoying it now. So Daniel chapter 6 this morning, let's turn together. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 this morning. I know as you turn and you find your place, many times we look at stories or events like this in the Bible and we think, well, it's just a kid's story, of course. We teach our kids these stories, and we ought to teach everybody these stories. They're not just stories, they're truth. And but there's so much that we can glean out of these passages of Scripture this morning, and we sure hope the Lord will stir our hearts this morning. It's a tremendous story, tremendous truth here, Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, if you found your place this morning, I'd like to invite you, encourage you to stand, if you can, this morning out of honor and reverence of the Word of God. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. We're not going to read the whole chapter. We'll jump around a little bit. Verses 1 through 3 sort of set the scene here. It says in verse number 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princesses, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, but because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And that's where the problem began. And it's easy sometimes. I've seen it happen in the church. I've seen somebody get, you know, God to be on them. God began to bless them. Me and Miss Karen was talking. Where Miss Karen got to? Me and Miss Karen was talking this morning. We got talking about some of the revivals that seems to be breaking out across our land. And amazing to hear men of God start to doubt. Men of God begin to criticize. As I said along, you know, several weeks ago, if that's your feeling, you keep it to yourself and I'll just enjoy it. Amen. If you don't like it, you just sit at your house and don't like it. Amen. I'm excited to see God doing something. Amen. And we ought to be excited. We act like God can't do things like that. God does do things like that. And God wants to do something here. Amen. God wants to do something in your life this morning. But here we see Daniel has been blessed. Daniel has got the touch of God upon him. Daniel here is being favored by the king. And again, I've seen it happen in the church house. I've seen men get on fire for God. I've seen God blessing families. And then they'll be somebody in the church begin to criticize and cut down because you think that God's blessing them more than God's blessing you. And what a terrible thought process to have in your mind. You ought to be excited when a brother or a sister is being blessed. You ought to be excited when God's working in somebody's life. And you ought to just be just giving God the glory for it. But here we see, here it creates a problem. And we know how this problem just continues to grow here. And I like the story. This isn't what we're preaching this morning. And we know how the other princes and the other leaders there, they saw that how the king liked Daniel and how he was being touched and blessed. And so they had to come up with a scheme. You know, that's how people do. It even says there, I think it's verse number 5, it says that, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And so they looked at this man, they said, we can't even find nothing wrong with him. So we're going to make up some lies. So that's what they did. And they tricked Darius to put that creed before them. And we know how the king there got himself into a fix. And we know, and it comes down over there, verse number 14, then the king, when he heard these words, and were so displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun and to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. The king had put something in place. And no matter how much the king didn't like what had took place, the law had to be taken care of. Can I say this morning that God has set some things in order? And no matter how much God, and I know we live in a day where God is a God of love. Nobody talks about the other side of God. And God does love every one of us this morning. People say, how can a God that loves so much send somebody to hell? He doesn't. If you go to hell, you'll go there on your own account. Because God's done everything He can. But God will never go against His Word. And because of the sin that took place there in Genesis, because of the sin of Adam, that sin has been passed down, according to Romans, to every man. And that sin this morning has to be dealt with. So we see here again the truth of the law. Then verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of the lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions, and the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or every they came at the bottom of the den. Let's pray. Father, we sure love you. Lord, I pray for the next few minutes, God, would you please? God, would you please speak to our hearts this morning, God? I know this morning if anything's going to be accomplished, God, you're going to have to do it. God, I don't have the words. I don't have the mind, God, to speak, Lord, what's put into these words, these verses, God. But I pray, God, this morning, God, would you just use us this morning, God, as your mouthpiece. God, you know every heart. God, you never thought. God, I pray this morning, God, would you please, God, just move in our midst. God, would you put a hush upon people's thoughts this morning? God, would you put a hush this morning, God, upon their hearts? God, let them deal personally this morning with what we're going to look at. And God, I pray, God, Lord, if there be one here this morning that's lost, I pray. Oh, God, I pray, God, would you save that one? And God, I know there's many this morning, God, that have testified its truth, God, that they're saved and ready to go to heaven. Lord, I pray, God, this morning, God, you sure would burden our hearts. God, that we'd have a compassion, Lord, that we'd have a zeal, God, to reach men, women, boys, and girls with the truth while there's still time. And Lord, we're going to thank you. We're going to praise you for what you do here this morning, God, for us. In your name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. And this is very simple this morning. Again, we've heard this story. It's one of those stories that if you've been in church any time at all, you've heard it. You've maybe even taught it. But this morning, I've heard it preached so many different ways. And God just really burdened my heart this morning for the core of what we see here this morning, of what took place here in this den of lions. And I've got about three or four things we just want to share. And again, what a tremendous story of how it unfolds. But I want to look this morning on the fact of how God delivered Daniel. And I'm glad this morning I can say, just as what I see here this morning, there was a day in my life where God delivered me. Amen. And I want to show you some truth here this morning in the Word of God. Listen to me this morning. I want you to understand there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun this morning. Hey, just as real as heaven is this morning, I know without a shadow of a doubt there is a place called hell this morning. And I want to tell you this morning that God loves you so much that He gave His best that we wouldn't have to go to that awful place. But let's just look through the Scriptures this morning together. The first thing I see this morning, I believe the biggest thing this morning is the way of salvation. Now, you've got to realize this morning that Daniel was in a fix. Daniel was in a place, and when you think about it, I can't imagine. I've seen videos of animals tearing other animals apart, and I can't imagine. I know it wasn't just a little bit ago down in Florida, down at Disney, that little boy got eaten by that alligator. I can't imagine how that parent must have felt to see that child drug off by that alligator. And I can't imagine what went through their hearts. But I want to tell you this morning, Daniel wasn't just thrown into a box. Daniel wasn't just thrown into a closet. Daniel was placed in a terrible place. Daniel was placed in a place where the lions at any moment could devour him. And I want you to realize this morning that you and I, now I listen, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm glad this morning I remember that place, but I ain't in that place no more. But I'm saying this morning, if you're here this morning, I want you to understand how frail, how quick life passes by, how every minute your heart beats, how every time your lungs brings air into your body, how every day that God has blessed you with, every second of that day, if you're lost, you're one heartbeat, you're one breath away of spending eternity in a lake of fire. You're just like Daniel this morning. You're in a mess. You're in a fix. You're in a dangerous place. So I see this morning, first of all, the way of salvation. Daniel was put in a place that there was only one way out. He was placed in a den of lions. In the eyes of men, there was no hope. Maybe in the eyes of you this morning, you think there is no hope. But what was the way of salvation? Well, it's the way of salvation for me. It's the same way of salvation for you. It was the same way of salvation for Daniel. What was it? Well, it's found here in Scriptures. Look at verse 23. How did Daniel survive? How are you going to survive? Then the king was exceeding glad for him and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So that Daniel was taken up out of the den and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Why? Because he was baptized? Because he was a good person? Because he had a lot of money? Because he had this? Because he was that? No, this morning I can testify to the same as Daniel can testify. I can say this morning that I'm saved and on my way to heaven because I simply believe God. And that's what Daniel did. Listen, if you've been around gospel light here lately, has God not been ringing that bell a lot lately? We looked at Abram. Over there in Genesis chapter 16, what did Abram do? He believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. We saw Paul out there in Acts chapter 27 on that boat. What did Paul stand up and say? I believe God. And now we see Daniel as we see God, the working of salvation in Daniel's life, simply because Daniel believed God. You know how you're going to get out of this thing this morning? Same way I got out of it. I believe God. Amen. So this morning I see the way of salvation simply because he believed God. And again this morning, that sounds so easy, and it is so easy. But what is it to mean, I believe God? Now, this morning, the Bible even tells us that the devil and all his angels, they know there's a God. It's not a fact of believing, yeah, there is a God. What is this thought of believing God? Well, I believe in two ways this morning that I see that thought of believing God. First of all, that thought of believing God is an attitude of the heart. It's knowing this morning when it comes to our personal salvation, I believe God in the fact that God is always right and I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. The Bible even tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to go to heaven when you die, you're going to have to realize you are a sinner. Now, nobody wants to be thought about that. No, well, that's just being mean, preacher. You shouldn't say that. No, we ought to realize this morning how terrible, how rotten we really are to the core. And here this morning we see the thought that Daniel believed God. Daniel knew who he was. But he also knew who God was. And that's the thought of the believing as far as the attitude of the heart. But not only is it an attitude of the heart, but it's also, I believe, an acting upon of the heart. Just as we saw with Abram, if you were here for our Genesis study, Abram, God brought him out there and says, look up into the sky, Abram. You see all those stars? Didn't I promise you something? Didn't I tell you that you were going to have a nation after you? Didn't I promise you that seed? And Abram saw in himself, because Abram done got to the place, this ain't going to happen. And God says, can you count those? And God tells him he knows every one of them. He placed every one of them. And Abram at that moment believed, acting in his heart, that he could do nothing. And if it was going to happen, God had to do it. Is that not what I did as a 13-year-old boy at Vacation Bible School in Harmony, North Carolina, at Friendship Baptist Church? I saw myself by faith. I saw that thought of knowing that what a terrible person. I was going to hell. And then I realized I couldn't get out of it. And I simply believed God. This morning, if you're going to get saved, if you are saved, you've got to be saved simply because you believe God. Not only do I see the way of salvation, but then I see the working of salvation. Look with me this morning in verses 20 through 22. It says, when he came to the den, he cried with a loud voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said, Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and have shut the lion's mouth. Not only do I see the way of salvation in the fact that it's by the thought of believing God, but I see the working of salvation. How does it happen? It happens the same way we see here. I'm thankful that God sent his only begotten Son into this world to die for man that we could have eternal life. See, Daniel said to the king come running, Daniel, you all right? You all right? The God that you talk about, the God that was so great, was he able? And boy, I'm glad this morning I can testify he is more than able, amen? Is your God able this morning? My God's able. And Daniel cried out there, he said, O king, be of good cheer there. God was able. And then he says in verse 22, he says, my God. See, when you believe God, it sure gets personal. What can your God do? See, a lot of this world has gods. They're God of money. They're God of ability. The Bible says over in Psalms, I think it is, it talks about those gods that have eyes and cannot see. I think it's Isaiah instead of Psalms. Has eyes and cannot see, ears and cannot hear. Hands that cannot touch. See, that's what this world's gods has. But I'm glad this morning my God is able. And we see the working of salvation because the Bible says here again, he says, my God has sent his angel. And I'm glad this morning I can tell the world that my God has sent his only begotten Son into this world that we could have eternal life. So I see the working of salvation. There is a way and there's only one way. What is that way? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's the way. He's the door. the only door. So I see the working of salvation. And then I see, and I was thinking as we sitting here, and maybe it's me, I don't know. Sometimes it just feels like things are just running a little off. I was sitting here thinking this morning, I even wrote it down up here on my corner of my paper. Don't let something rob you of the joy of God. Amen. See, when God's working like I believe God has been working, I can promise you the devil's working hard to put a damper on it. But greater is He that's in you. When that old devil, when that old flesh, and listen, we give the devil way too much credit. But when that old flesh begins to work on you, and you begin to put some thoughts in your head, and you begin to do some things that begins to drag you away from the joy of the Lord, wake up! Cast those things away. So I see the way of salvation. I'm thankful this morning is still the way. I see the working of salvation, and it still works. Amen. But then I see not only that, but I see the wonder of salvation. We've got some that's been saved less than 2 weeks. We've got some in here that's been saved 20, 30 years. Have you lost the joy? Have you lost the zeal? Have you lost the wonder of it all? Look here at the wonder of salvation. Look at verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceeding glad for him and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God, the wonder of salvation. I see the praise of Daniel. Daniel, listen, he's not praising God on the outside of the lion's den, is he? Where's he praising God from? Inside of the lion's den. And friend, this morning, the wonder of salvation, we ought to have something to praise God about. Well, preacher, this is wrong, and that's wrong, and this is wrong, and that's wrong. Hey, are you saved? Are you going to heaven when you die? Can you raise your hand and give glory to God? Hey, Daniel was still in that same place, and I know this morning I'm saved. I know this morning I'm sealed. I know I'm going to be delivered, amen. But as I walk through this world, I'm still in the lion's den. But I can give God glory. I can praise God right out of the midst of the den of lions. And this morning, that's what I see here. I see the wonder of salvation. Daniel thanking God for taking care of him. He shut the lion's mouth. No hurt. See, I believe in that. I can think about eternal security. That Daniel, as he slept all night in that den of lions. Can you imagine? Now, my wife, she freaks out pretty heavy with a spider. I was like, what do you think? The thing's going to eat you? Something that little gets you all bent out of shape? Well, preacher, how many lions was in that den? Does it matter? Is one not enough? Daniel spent the night, and listen, we're going through nighttime. Joy is coming in the morning. Hey, we're getting out of this thing. But Daniel, in the midst of all those lions, can you imagine? Good kitty. I don't have a clue. I've heard it illustrated so many ways. But I've met some people that could go through this world and say, good kitty. But then I've met other people that go through this world, they're pinned up against the wall of the lion's den, scared to death because they're really not. They're saved. But they're scared to death. How are you this morning? Can you trust God this morning? Can you believe God this morning? Can you say without a shadow of a doubt that you know that you're going to heaven when you die? And you can just say, good kitty. But preacher, look at the danger. I've never been in a den with a lion. Don't really care to. But Daniel, in the midst of that den of lions, could praise God, knowing that God, his God, had come and shut the mouth of the lion. See, this morning, child of God, you need to understand that devil cannot have you if you're saved. If you're saved this morning, the devil cannot have you. Why? Because my God sent his Son to die for my sin. He has victory over death, hell, and the grave. You know what he's done? He shut the devil's mouth. But preacher, it's still dangerous. Oh, yeah. But in the midst of the storm, I can still say, I'm just believing God. Amen. Why? Because he shut the devil's mouth. I see the praise. I see the eternal security. And then praise the Lord. Look at verse 23 again. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. Not only can I praise him while I'm here, not only can I realize that the devil can't have me, but I'm glad this morning that I can tell you that there's a promise been made. That one day the king is going to come, and he's going to come and say, come up hither, and I'm getting up out of this old den. Amen? Daniel was delivered out of the den. Hey, friend, this morning, if you're saved, heaven's going to be your home. But one of these days, you're going to get out of here. It might be by the grave, but it could be by the call. This morning, I'm glad to say there is deliverance. So I see the wonder of salvation. But then I've got to hit this and we're done. Did anybody see anything scary about what just took place? Well, we rejoice in being saved this morning. I do. When I get to thinking about it, I just can't think of things. It just blows me, you know. Just can't get it all together in my head that I could. That I'm going to heaven. That God loves me. But did you see what took place? Look what happens in verse 24. And the king commanded. And one day, my king is going to command. The same king that shut the lion's mouth for me. The same king that protected me through the night. The same king that delivered me out of this old world. The Bible says, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives. Notice, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces. Wherever they came at the bottom of the den. See, this morning, as I know, I can't speak for you. I would never speak for you. I know that I'm going to heaven. How you know, preacher? I'm believing God. But I know just as real as I'm going to heaven, there's a multitude that God's going to give way. And they're going to spend eternity in that lion's den. The gnashing of the teeth. The burning of that fire. The horror of hell. God says, you didn't take my son. You didn't believe what I said. You didn't listen when I called. And because of that, the lion's going to have the mastery over you. See, I used to be of my father, the devil. But God. But see, this morning, if you die without Christ, if you die without believing in God, not believing there is a God, but believing in God, you one day will find yourself where these found themselves, in a lake of fire. And the devil will be your master. What a sad thing. But I'm glad this morning, as one of my great friends used to say, as long as there's breath, there's hope. See, God's not done yet. God's still at work. You might be here this morning. It's all game to you. It's not real. Notice, it wasn't just those that concocted the idea of what took place here, but it was their wives. It was their children. I can't imagine my children going to hell. Can you? Now, both my children profess they're saved. I don't know. Between them and God. I got three little grandbabies. Can't imagine the lion tearing them apart. I got friends. I got people I say I love. I can't imagine the lion just ripping their flesh. Can you? Thankful this morning there is a way. Thankful this morning I can tell you how it works. I can tell you this morning there's a wonder to it all. Oh, but this morning, what a great wailing. I wonder, this makes me come to my mind, we know over there in the book of Acts, chapter 16, I think it is, talks about that rich man, how he cried out from hell for that drip of water. Let me ask you something this morning. Anybody believe that's true? Anybody? You really believe right now there's people screaming in hell? I do. I really do. I know there's wailing in heaven or in hell. I wonder where the wailing on the altar has gone. Oh God. I know God wants people saved, but do we want to see people saved? It gets pretty serious when you find yourself in that den of lions, doesn't it? I'm glad I can go through this old world knowing God's got him by the tongue. But one day the lions are going to feast. Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? Lord, didn't we do great things thy name, Lord? And the Lord says, I never knew you. And he tells them to bind them. And I don't know. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I just wonder if we're not going to have a part in that binding. Hey, Mama, can you imagine taking your little boy, your little girl, and God say, bind him up? You never tell him. Wasn't real. Wasn't important. A Oh, it's good to know I'm saved. Glad I can praise God all through this day. But I never want to lose sight that one day, men, women, boys, and girls are going to spend an eternity in a lake of fire. There is a wailing in hell. But I believe the church has lost the wailing in the altar. Let's stand together this morning.